With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking forward to the weekend. Yesterday was Thursday.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday.
I met you inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol. More specifically, vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila. More beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Let's go.
Why don't you say what every time I talk? Why don't you say what back at me? Why is that not started? How's that not started?
What?
There it is.
What?
Actually, I want it back. It's annoying.
What?
Really?
That's, if I were in the wrestling crowd, I'd be like, huh? Instead of, what? I'd be more like,
I'm sorry, could you explain yourself?
Hmm? I'd be that young guy behind Trump in Montana that's like,
right?
What? Tax cuts? I can't believe what I just heard. Sir, you're going to have to leave. We need better actors. I'll do it. I'll stand here.
Yeah.
I'm the acting coordinator, and you're fired.
Yep.
All right, picks coming up. Football yep. Friday. Let's talk to Steve here first. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
Let me tell you, long-time listener since the Art Wander days.
All right.
This is actually the first time I've ever called in.
Wow, this might be the longest time listener, first time caller of certainly my career. I would think it might be the same for Mike. This is great.
I'm really excited about this Alec kid. And my first point is they talk about keeping you on the sidelines. And who's he going to learn from? He doesn't have anybody to learn from. Okay. My second point is when Jim Kelly came in, he didn't have anybody to learn from either, and he was sacked over 40 times
his first season with the Bills.
Yeah, in his first season with the Bills.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
So if this guy's going to be any good, and if he's going to suck it up, and if he's going to be any resemblance of Kelly, hopefully, everybody's going to stand behind him. And what I'm seeing right now is the team says, all the teams are saying, hey, it's up to us. We need to not drop that ball. We need to not get that penalty. And we need to not make that mistake. So I'm seeing everybody rallying behind this kid. So I've actually gone out and I bought my Allen jersey, and I'm all set. And as long as this kid can suck it up, I'm going to stand behind him. And lastly, I know it doesn't really mean much, but I was driving by the stadium the other day, and I went past Allen Street, which is off of Jim Kelly Boulevard. So I'm just going to say, go Bills, and leave it at that.
All right, man. I hope it goes well.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
I couldn't tell you if he was saying that he wants somebody like in that mentor role or doesn't think they need somebody in that mentor role.
I think he doesn't care.
I don't care. I know that.
No. The idea of him waiting, like we talked a little bit about this, you know, one of these days this week when we weren't talking about burritos. him not playing was never about having a guy for him to watch and learn from as much as it was to, like, just get him up to speed, so to speak, like watching the speed of the game and knowing what it would take to go in there. It wasn't to me, because I think that stuff's always overrated. Like, you know, like you hear stories about what did Brett Favre do for Aaron Rodgers? Like, nothing. Like, Aaron Rodgers, and you know, it might be right that Aaron Rodgers could have played right away and been Aaron Rodgers, too. But he certainly didn't get any tutelage that I know of. I think it's been pretty well documented that Favre was maybe even abrasive towards him. Like, you're here to take my job. I'm not going to help you. And Roethlisberger sounded like that when the Steelers picked Mason Rudolph. So,
in Baltimore.
Right. So,
how about that?
Right.
They were talking about that last night. It's, right. It's like no secret that Flacco wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
And Lamar Jackson's at wide receiver. Lamar Jackson comes in to play quarterback, and Flacco is wide receiver. What is the point of that? That's not your point, but it's not automatic.
Right.
That's your point. It's not automatic.
I think we just assume that these guys, and look, there are cases like, you know, Josh McCown looks like an all-time great guy for this. And how he's working. Now, Darnold is playing. He's not sitting back and learning from McCown. But McCown, and before they even made the draft choice, I think it was pretty well documented. Part of the reason they even brought him back was because of how he had demonstrated himself to be with other players. Not everybody's like that. So in that case, like I think that can be helpful. But I just don't assume it. That just because I've got a guy that's been in the league for 8 years, that he's going to take Josh Allen under his wing and go, here, let me show you how to take my job. Wait, what? what am I doing exactly? Not all guys are going to be like that. So it was never a part of the thing for me that I didn't need. I might have liked to have a better quarterback here to play so Allen didn't have to already, but it wasn't so that Allen could, like, you know, sit there and make notes while the game is going on. Okay, take three steps and then throw it. Like, I think he knows that's what he's supposed to do.
If that sort of, try not to use the word narrative, if that sort of storyline annoys you, avoid the Jets. Because the Jets have Josh McCown there, and there was a lot of that on Monday night, how great it is that he's, like, the perfect player coach there. And, you know, people, that's an easy thing to believe in, and people love that. I think, you know, there's certainly not a bad thing, but I feel like mostly guys are going to be good or they're not. And coaching is important. The extra minute of sleep. It doesn't matter to me that the Bills don't have such a figure.
Right, and like I just said, he's not even learning from McCown. I mean, McCown's there to help him, but he's playing.
He's playing.
So he's got McCown there in his ear, and, you know, great. But, yeah, I mean, they didn't – whatever. It's all been said. We got things to do.
We've got picks to make, and this is important.
It's time to turn it up a notch and get you gambling, because we got plenty of booze and beer to go around.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hooray! You understand that they got the... You can put a little change on the individual games. You can do whatever. Hello.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Put your money on and put the profit in the bank.
There's a lot there.
The season is underway, and I'm two games down already. 2-3. I decided to take the opposite of whatever you picked for college because I was not prepared, and I paid for it. Because had I not done that and been prepared, I most certainly would have been right.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Instead, I went the opposite of you, and that was a mistake. The only game you lost was the Bills game.
Yeah.
And, you know, fans love a guy like that. I'll pick the Bills, and I'll just get the other ones right. And if the Bills lose, I'm still ahead.
Right.
But my heart was in the right place.
I did really, though, believe that it would... Should I say this on the radio? It's probably not good for me. I thought it was going to be a close, low-scoring game. So they were getting,
it was half low scoring.
They were getting 7.5. Like, okay, fine. Yeah, anyway. Georgia killed South. It killed. I mean, they
I saw a 14-10.
They won. Yeah, they scored right away after that, and then just were, it was never in doubt after that. Like, when we got to 21-10, they just, goodbye.
Georgia must have the quarterback must have a mentor.
Oh, no. He does. Yeah, actually, he's only a sophomore. I think he played last year. They got to the national title game, and he was a freshman.
They did?
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma.
Right.
And they lost to Alabama.
Oh, yeah. And they were ahead,
in overtime.
Too. Yeah.
Right? Ooh. Was that overtime?
I don't think Oklahoma was overtime.
What game was Alabama? Was that against Clemson? Overtime touchdown pass?
I don't know. I only remember last year. Last year did not go to overtime. In the national title game, Georgia's win over Oklahoma was in overtime.
Yeah.
The national title game, Alabama rallied late behind the backup quarterback.
Okay. Maybe it wasn't overtime then. I don't watch these games.
No. Well, it's tough to recall.
I shouldn't be
then.
Talking about All them. Right. Why am I?
Anyway, well, I get to go first then because I'm ahead. So let's see what we're going to do here. Week two. Pick one. I'll go college first here. I'm going to take Boise State. They're getting 2.5 at Oklahoma State. Sorry, Thurman. Like he gives a crap.
He doesn't mind at all when you go against Oklahoma State. Right. He does not mind.
This is 17 in the country, which is what Boise State is, against, I think, 24.
That's a good game.
In the country, yeah. And, you know, Oklahoma State's at home. So they're favored by 2.5. I'm going to take Boise State there. I don't have any real insightful analysis to give you beyond the fact that the game won't be played on blue turf.
Will they be able to adjust?
Yeah. Pick two. I'm going to take the Patriots on the road at Jacksonville. This is the 4:25 game. I'm hoping like hell this is the game we get after the Bills game on CBS. I don't know that. I've not checked the schedule locally. But for those of us who don't have Sunday ticket, like this is the game I think everyone wants to see. I can't believe we won't get it. Anyway, I'm hoping. And mostly, I think that, you know, this game to me could go either way. I like Jacksonville. I'm kind of bullish on them. But you look at a bunch of games, and I told Joe this. You weren't in the room, Mike. Like, usually a few games jump out at me. It doesn't mean I'm going to get them right, but a few games jump out at me. I go like, okay, I want that, I want that, I want that. This week I'm looking at the games, and my first reaction was, I don't like any of this. And then eventually I got, you know, you got to pick some games, and eventually I got to Patriots in a pick 'em. Okay, I'll just go ahead and do that. I'll take them not having to give any points. So they're on the road. I'll take the Patriots.
That's why you shouldn't.
Probably. But I'm not savvy like that. I am the sucker that takes the sucker bet.
Okay.
As demonstrated by my sterling track record in this endeavor. I'll take the Dolphins getting 3 at the Jets. You know, Darnold looked good, but yeah, I don't know. That was a weird, you know, Stafford could not stop throwing it to the Jets. So I'm not really high on Miami. This feels to me like a little comeback to earth for the Jets and Darnold. So I'll take
short
the Dolphins.
Short week.
Sure. Thank you for that. Get as many cliches in as you can. It's picks. I'll take the Chiefs getting 4.5 at the Steelers. We've got Roethlisberger with an elbow injury, and they tied Cleveland. And I believe in a lot of the Chiefs' skill. They got a lot of talent there, and I really like Mahomes. So 4.5 Chiefs.
You're giving them the Chiefs this right now.
Yeah. And I'm going to take the Chargers -7.5.
So much for that other
at the Bills.
Story.
That's right. I want to win. So I'll take the LA Chargers. 7.5 is that number. So there you have it.
I think the Bill. I'm not going to, but I'd rather be on the Bills side of that bet. For as obvious as it can look, the line was bet down a point or two from where it started. And I just think that that's one of those sharp plays, but couldn't they also lose 47-3 again? Like, I don't know. There's a battle between how I look at betting odds and what I think of this whole thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not impressed or optimistic, so I can't bet them. I won't bet them. I do like the Steelers in one of your games. Roethlisberger, it's home Roethlisberger, and he practiced today. That injury thing, I don't have to be right, but he plays that game all the time. Kansas City secondary is terrible. So that he's got his receivers. He doesn't have Bell, but he's got Connor, who might be the same guy. I think Pittsburgh rolls it up. I'll take the Rams minus 13 at home against Arizona. I lost on Arizona last week, and so I'm a little reluctant here, but I'm still taking the Rams. It's such a big number. That says, you know, we don't care. Like, they're begging you to bet Arizona. 13 points.
Right. In an NFL game in week 2.
Yeah, like, really? Already?
Right.
So, short week, but Rams. Minus 13. That's Gurley. That's Cooper Kupp, I think,
game. I should have been there for you with the short week. You shouldn't have had to do that on your own.
Okay. I'm going to hang in there with the Tennessee Titans. Plus 3 at home against Houston. I don't think Houston's good. Offensive line is horrendous. And, yeah, their quarterback is hurt. And their coach today was sort of kind of a mess talking about both guys playing. And I think it's sort of an easy joke right now, or an easy mark, the Titans. But I liked them before the year. I was there on Mariota. And they lost one game to a Dolphin team that I think is underrated. And it was close. So I'm going to say Mariota plays at least some in this game, and he's not terrible, and they're getting points in their home opener against Houston. Tennessee plus 3. And I do like the idea of that Patriots bet, but I'll just stay away from it. Give me the Eagles minus 3. That might be a sucker bet. The Eagles minus 3 at Fitz. But the game they had last week, I just think that's as well as that as the Buccaneers are going to do in that line, is plus 3. And I really like the Eagles' offense in this game. You know, Foles isn't Wentz. Maybe he is. But I'm okay there. I like Jay Ajayi in this matchup. I like Aguilar a lot in this matchup. I think they can do a lot. Tampa has bad injuries on defense already. So I'm confident in the Eagles there. But maybe Tampa's skill guys are so good, or that suddenly Ryan Fitzpatrick is so good. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's done that before. Not to quite that extent.
Right, but he's had really hot games, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, Philly, like in a 30-17 kind of game at Tampa Bay. And college, I'll take Vanderbilt plus 14 against Notre Dame. I always like that Vanderbilt is abbreviated V-Built. V-apostrophe-Built. V-Built.
As opposed to Vandy.
Yeah, I like V-Built over Vandy. Yeah. Even. But I'll take Vanderbilt or V-Built plus 14 against Notre Dame. All right.
I got to, what was on last night before the NFL game? What time did the college game kick off? I turned it on when I got home. It was Wake Forest and Boston College on ESPN. And when I sat down at like 7:20 to start watching it, it was in the third quarter. When did that game, was that a replay? Like, that was live, right? Like, what was going on there? Is there Thursday night college action to get you to the NFL game?
I don't know. Good idea.
Yeah.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, third quarter, honestly. I was like, wow, okay.
Good idea. Yeah. Wake in B.C.
Yeah.
Maybe they had the hurricane. Was it at Wake? No. Did they move it up?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know.
Could have been. It was at Wake. So maybe that was why it was on early. That might make sense. I just don't recall there being college football on, you know, while we're on the air. Usually.
The Red Sox get Noah Syndergaard at Fenway Park tonight. Mets at Red Sox. I'll take the Mets in that game with their second-best pitcher, who's also very good,
okay,
Syndergaard.
Good luck with that.
We have John Clayton, our man, back in the fold, hashtag, this year. And we'll have John Clayton for you talking Josh Allen, Nathan Peterman, Bills, and NFL after this timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Then Sneaky Joe. With the nightcap here on WGR.
Expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Schoep and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Glad to welcome John Clayton back on the show. Hello, John.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. What were you doing right before we called?
I'm still catching up on that cut down from 90 to 53. So what I was working on was, you know, I built all these little databases, you know, with how they were built and all that stuff. So I was on, I was on the Bills, you know, trying to put all the new players, you know, in perspective, how many draft choices, how many OFAs, how many guys were undrafted. So that's what I was doing.
Did you learn anything interesting? Did you get far enough to tell us anything interesting about that? Maybe not.
Let's see. Well, it's... start when you're down to like about 15 draft choices that are on your team homegrown. Now, of course, some guys injured and all that stuff. That's the low number in the league, and that's sometimes not good. It kind of shows you that the okay, so you're kind of phasing out the old old guard and now bringing in the new guard, and hopefully the new guard is going to be over. But you know, the two teams that are down below 20 are the Oakland Raiders, who let a lot of guys go that they drafted, and the same thing with the Bills at 15.
Well, you've made this point continuously about front office churn, coaching churn, that there is always a price to be paid with the build of the roster, because guys are going to want their own guys. And that's really in evidence here.
Oh, no question. I mean, again, you can see particularly at the quarterback position, and that's the one that I think is up for the main criticism and certainly has to be criticized because, you know, again, I still stand by the fact that I like Tyrod Taylor, even though he no longer is Tyrod. I like him, and the alternatives are there. And again, long-term, I think Josh Allen's going to be great. I like him a lot. I don't like him in the role this early because I just worry that things could go real bad this early, and I don't want to see that happen into a guy that I think has Carson Wentz-type ability and maybe even a better arm. And so you just don't want to see that ruined early in the first year. So that concerns me. And then, of course, it even doubled down when they made the A.J. McCarron trade. Now, A.J. may not have wanted to be there, but again, it's like, hey, what options did he have? I mean, this was a chance that he had to start. And with the injury and everything else, you know, now it's all of a sudden it's Nathan Peterman, who right now is not getting any good reviews, and Josh Allen, who may be coming in too early.
Interesting that you add that little caveat about McCarron maybe not wanting to be here. Are you implying that the Bills moved him because he maybe was going to be a pain in the butt about being third string here?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but again, it's like the one thing with A.J. McCarron, I don't think he could be a pain in the butt. I think that you know, he's been in the league long enough that he knows how to be a good soldier and how to take things and all that stuff. But I think that you know, you can see that you sign with the team and you anticipate. Again, you don't like a Mike Glennon situation, which is, of course, Mike Glennon went to the Chicago Bears. He got a 3-year, $45 million deal, which was really a 1-year, $15 million deal. And all of a sudden, he gets pushed to the back, and they go with Mitch Trubisky after about a month and a half. And so you can understand that he's not happy. But again, it's like, hey, if you're benched, you're not going to be happy. And so part of the benching, I think, had to do with the injury and everything else, and maybe the fact that maybe he wasn't great. But you know, I think that there's probably some discontent that he has, and I don't know if going out to Oakland is going to resolve anything, but he's now out of sight, out of mind. But you still want experience. I mean, you still need to buy time to take these young quarterbacks and give them time. Hey, we'll see how it goes for Sam Darnold. I mean, Darnold, he has a stretch here that could really break him. You know, he's got 3 games in 10 days because he starts off in a Monday night game, has a Sunday game, and then a Thursday game. That's a lot to ask for the youngest quarterback since the merger.
Backing up a little, I just want to say I would not be shocked if McCarron got starts this year for Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
They have paid. They've committed to paying Derek Carr, but, I mean, I don't know. It looks terrible. And last year it did mostly, too. And I want to comment on the point about how many of your players are draft picks. I always like it when this comes up. It's interesting to me because everybody's intuition is, and it's not wrong, that a good team is built through the draft. I mean, that's where you have an even chance at the best players. LeSean McCoy is good, and Jerry Hughes is good, and Tyrod Taylor was pretty good, and Micah Hyde is good, and even the punter they had was pretty good.
Jordan Poyer, even the other safety.
Yeah. And none of those guys was drafted by the Bills. It doesn't make them less than. It's sort of ironic now that all the Bills quarterbacks, both, were their draft picks. It might be the only position on the team where everybody is a draft pick of theirs. And, you know, Taylor wasn't. But what I would want, John, and I've been consistent on this, the Bills trade up and trade up and trade up again in the draft to get their guys. Whaley did it with Watkins and Reggie Ragland with Rex, and now this with Josh Allen. Technically, they traded up 3 times in the first round this year, twice for Allen and once for Tremaine Edmonds. And you can always do this, I know, and I don't want to cherry pick, but you can find good players, players that are thought to be good already, even as rookies, that were picked later, and you trade down one or two times instead, and you have more. That's how I want to see this thing built, get built someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, you want volume. And, you know, understand it's like this isn't like the old days where you get to keep the draft choices forever. I mean, I still look and, you know, the big turnaround now is 2010, and there's less than three dozen players. I'm not even talking just draft choices. Three dozen players league-wide have been with the team since 2010,
wow.
And I'm talking all teams in the league.
Yeah.
So there's a breakup point, and it usually happens after 4 years when the contracts expire. Usually there's going to be 45 to 50 guys that are going to get second contracts with their team, and you think about how small that number is. You know, it's really about 1.5, maybe 2 players per team, and so there's going to be an eventual breakup, but you don't want to break it up too fast. I mean, you want to try to find a way to get 3 starters out of every draft, and then if there's a good way to sign 1 or 2 of them, then that's great, because then you have some continuity. But then the problem is that, you know, when you start to go low like the Bills and go low like the Raiders and that, I mean, you're pretty much just kind of starting up with draft choices from like 214, 215. You know, they've already wiped out a 216 third-round defensive tackle this week, and that's a little bit scary because now you're not getting the benefit of even those 4 years where hopefully you're picking up 12 starters.
Right.
Back to the quarterback situation here, John. I feel like at some point last week when we visited, I phrased a question about whether people were kind of rolling their eyes at McDermott for choosing Peterman, considering how it went when he played last season in Los Angeles. Now the opener comes and goes, and he has a 0 quarterback rating, and it's 2 interceptions and 24 yards on 5 completions. I mean, it was hellacious, and he's benched again. How much damage has McDermott done to his reputation by choosing Peterman again?
I think he's hurt it. I mean, and 47-3 loss doesn't help either, because, I mean, you look at Peterman, it's like, is it there? It's like, okay, what are we recognizing in practice that we just saw on the field? And on the field, it looks awful. I mean, it's as bad. It's like, it's not Tim Tebow-like, but it's, you know, not even in the same vein. But
it's worse. It's worse than Tim Tebow.
It can't be worse than Tim Tebow.
It has to be. 0.0 in 2 or 3 starts. The other one was a blizzard. He got hurt.
It's just like
Tebow is a playoff win.
Right. Right.
But I guess what it comes down with me is I watch Tim Tebow practice, and his practices were as bad as his games. Now, again, this is a guy that went on an 8-8 run his first year as a starting quarterback on an 8-8 team and made the playoffs and got a surprise victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. But in so many of those games,
yep.
I mean, all you saw was 3 and outs. And you just watch the throws, and it's like he's the only quarterback, Tim Tebow, that I saw bounce a screen pass. I've never seen that before. And I've seen it a couple times in practice and in games. He'll bounce a screen pass. That just doesn't happen. But, you know, I guess you can say that Nathan's in that same boat because you look and you say, is this guy really an NFL quarterback? What in practice did they see that says this guy can be any good at all?
That's right. That is the question, and we've been talking about that. And I think, unfortunately, the coach won't explain it. You know, I know that every coach wants to protect their guys a little bit, but he really gives you no idea, beyond what we watched in the preseason, to know what has pushed him twice to start this player over, you know, seemingly other respectable choices, to put it that way.
Yeah.
And I was going to say something else about Tebow, but probably best that I don't. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. At least he won the Heisman Trophy. You know, at least he was a first-round pick. At least he had some pedigree coming into the league. You don't have that with Peterman. If Josh Allen looks like that, somebody goes, well, at least he was, you know, highly drafted. At least the league tended to think he was worth that. Peterman does not have that either.
No, you're right about that, and that's what I think has got to be the problem. But what makes me worry is just that now there's no margin for error. Because, you know, what happens
right.
if Josh Allen gets hurt? What happens? Let's not wish for that, because, I mean, I like him as a person. I like him as a talent, and I want him to succeed. But now there's, like, no margin of error. And if there's one injury at the quarterback position and Peterman comes back, I mean, what's this going to be, a 2-14 season? Very well could be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, John, injury or even just, look, Josh Allen, like, you are very bullish on him and the talent, but it sounds like down the road as opposed to playing right now. Like, he could play. I'm going to the stadium on Sunday, and I just want them to get through the game without bursting into flames. Like, that's where I'm at. And I don't know. I don't know if the organization, I doubt they're phrasing it that way, but they need something to go kind of, like, pretty well in that regard, because the alternative is, turning back to Peterman. I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think that, you know, they need to look and find another quarterback to do? The trade of A.J. McCarron is like, it had me scratching my head because it's like, okay, you know, he comes at a reasonable price. He certainly has some talent. Maybe he was, I didn't think he was the equal at all of Tyrod Taylor because I thought Taylor was, you know, he's still a quarterback that may not be great, but at least in 1 year can put up 23, 24 points a game. You know, now what you're looking at is, you know, if Josh Allen does the best, what's it going to be? 15, 16, 17 points a game, and that really puts the defense in a tough position. But what I worry about is that one hit on him. I mean, you saw the preseason game where he had 5 sacks in the first half. I worry about that.
John Clayton with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here on WGR. So do you think they might be picking first? Are there, what other teams come to mind for that? I know it's early, but like, is it, who are the teams where it's realistic to you that they could finish with like only a win or two?
I mean, I think Cleveland's a 5-win team, you know, and now they've benefited because, you know, they get some extra cap room, or actually some money that comes off the books, the guaranteed contract that Corey Coleman has. You know, they get a break there. You look at Indianapolis. I mean, that's a team I think could very well struggle to do it. I mean, I think right now, I thought maybe Chicago, but then when Chicago got Khalil Mack, I think that added 2 wins to their total, and so that takes them probably from a 5-win team up to a 7-win team. So I see some definite improvement there. So honestly, when I look, and I know when I did the AP vote, I hated to do it, but I had to put Buffalo 32, and you know Indianapolis like about 20 at 30. So you know, the week before at Chicago, but then they get the Mack trade, and so now they jump up. Indianapolis is, I think, going to have a very difficult season, you know, if they can't get their defense and offensive line solved.
I wonder if Tampa would have been a guess for that, but of course they scored 48 points in New Orleans on Sunday.
That is the most surprising thing. I mean, you know Ryan Fitzpatrick, 48 points on the Saints on the road. That was incredible. 417 yards. I mean, how about Ryan Fitzpatrick out-dueling Drew Brees on the road?
Pretty good.
He's had days. I mean, he had a big high-scoring win here against Brady and the Patriots. He's had hot days, but that maybe was the hottest ever. I mean, that was really something.
The game I think about for him the most is in New England when we lost 37-31. Okay. That game that just, I hated the end of that game. The TJ Graham pass.
Right.
Sometimes with Fitzpatrick, there's that too, but there's no dampening his excellence in that game against the Saints. So let's talk about the Steelers for a minute. We've been talking about that again today. The whole league is, right? Like, what is going on there? Fans want to know. Fantasy players want to know. What do you think of what Le'Veon Bell is doing here?
Just totally selfish and foolish. Both. Because, first off, the selfish part of it is it's not a negotiation. The negotiation ended July 16th when he didn't get a long-term deal. So now it's a matter of just being selfish, withholding his services at the cost of him of $855,000 a week and caring more about his body next year than his teammates this year. That, to me, is just unbelievable. Never expected to see anything this selfish. And so I guess, you know, when you give up money, what are you giving it up for? But also, how do you even come back to your teammates, particularly now that you know they had to settle for a tie against the Cleveland Browns? That, to me, is inexcusable. And so, I mean, he's total damaged goods. And you think about that. Okay, what teams would even think about trading for him? And I would say none, but let's say, and they're not going to trade him, we know that, but there's only 3 teams, even in free agency, that I think would look at him. And it's really 2, because San Francisco has the room to do something, but they have $7.5 million into Jet McKinnon, who's on the injured reserve list with an ACL tear. Then you have the Jets. You know, they could maybe do something. The Colts, they're not big into free agency, so I can't see them doing something. But everybody else, I mean, I don't think they can afford a $14 million running back. And if that's the case, he's going to have to take less to go someplace else. And I don't know where he's going to go next year. But the problem is, he's almost being in a position where how does the offensive lineman take him back?
We'll take a timeout here. More with our man John Clayton coming up after this on WGR. Now more with longtime NFL insider John Clayton here on WGR. I really thought after 1 week, John, like that he'd make whatever point he felt he needed to make by threatening to sit out and sitting out a game. And I got up Wednesday thinking Le'Veon Bell's going to come back. He'll be there. He made his point. And before there's too much bad blood there, although I know what the Steelers were saying in the run-up to the opener, and it already sounded bad, but I think that goes away in a hurry if a guy comes back. But now that he's going to miss a second week, I don't know. I'm bracing for, Thanksgiving. I mean, I think he'll go long now.
Yeah, just to save his body for the final six games and get a chance to make sure that contract turns into free. Although, I guess the one thing the Steelers did a little bit today was leak out. They still could put the transition tag on him next year and then see if anybody does match the offer or gets an offer out there that I'm sure they won't match, but they have a little bit more control over him. So I think they're using that little thing to kind of mess him up a little bit. But in the end, I mean, it's a bad situation. And look how bad things are, I think, internally in the locker room. I mean, not Antonio Brown gets into it and makes a threat against one of the ESPN.com reporters on the team. That's not going over well, and he had to formally apologize for that. And so, and you think about the margin for error of this team. They may have ruined the margin of error because, the ideal thing for them, particularly in the Ben Roethlisberger era, is to make sure that you stay ahead of the Patriots and get a home game in the playoffs. Well, right now, that tie to the Browns could cost them the chance to get that. And, a loss here coming up could also do the same thing. The more that Bell's out, the more damage it does to the team, and that's why I just consider it to be a selfish, dumb act.
John, as we're almost out of time, what are your thoughts on John Gruden and the Raiders at this point? That game starts, you get the early touchdown from Lynch. Got to be like a super high moment for Gruden and for the fans. Yeah. And the rest of the game is basically a nightmare. I mentioned earlier, like Derek Carr, I would not be shocked if they pulled him. I don't know, like, It looks pretty bad, and it's it was bad last year. So, what do you think is going through Gruden's head?
Skunk smell.
Skunks.
Anything else? But did you see the story yesterday? He had the press conference, and he was talking about he was in the Oakland Stadium, and a skunk apparently was in near the office, and so he had skunk smell all through, and it just stayed with him. And so I don't know if the skunk smell was the second half performance of the defense or the offense, but no, it's a mess right now. I mean, you can see that they ran out of gas in the second half, and that it was 13-13, and they gave up 20 unanswered points. What you're saying about Derek Carr is an observation that I think a lot of people have. It seems like he's getting a little gun-shy based on the injuries that he faced last year, and that's not making him look good, and he doesn't look, and again, you're right. I mean, if he struggled, I know the relationship, and having been on the sidelines with the two, the relationship with Derek Carr and John Gruden is a good one. I mean, he realizes Carr's got great talent, but right now he's not living up to it. And then you give away your best defensive player, a generational type of a player that, could be having a Hall of Fame career to get a couple draft choices. Don't get it.
Yeah, and then after the game, talk about how you couldn't rush the passer.
Yeah.
And then
to come back and said he didn't want to be here. Well, yeah, when you don't make him an offer and he's a $23 million player, do you think he might get frustrated? Because, I mean, you know him. He went to Buffalo. He loves the game of football. I mean, he and Aaron Donald are two guys that just love the game. But if you don't make him an offer, what's he supposed to do? I mean, he's, come in and play for the, $14.2 million when you know he can make $23.
Yeah, Gruden is old school. A lot of people say, well, he had a contract. I heard Gruden actually say that on Monday night. All right, John, are you still on the Seahawk broadcast team?
Yes, indeed. So I will be going Chicago to the Monday night game coming up against the Chicago Bears. And did you see that I actually now have a column in the Washington Post?
Yes, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
We figured like in 17 weeks we can ask you about each one of your jobs.
Yeah, well, you'll have another one to ask me by the 24th, but we'll get into that after.
All right. Let us know. Wow. We'd love to talk about it. Not even sight unseen. We'd love to talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
That's it for us. Stay tuned. Sneaky Joe is on the way. We'll talk to you after Bills Chargers on Sunday. Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Stay tuned for Joe next on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.